Friends, just want to take this opportunity to welcome you all here this morning and also to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just take a quick look around, wave at your neighbor, let everyone know that you are here. Greet one another in with the peace of Christ. Just exulting in the fact that we're all able to be here as God's people together as we worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have one announcement really to make, just to remind everyone that the annual reports are needed in the office by Monday, November the 8th. We look forward to our annual meeting, which will be in December, but we want to make sure that all of our annual reports are in. So please make sure that you have our annual meeting on your calendars. It should be December the 12th, and for those of you who need to get your annual reports in, they need to be in by Monday, November the 8th. Also, please just make sure that you continue to stay abreast of what's going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church by way of our Facebook page, our web page. You can go there to keep abreast of what is going on. Also, just make sure that you read your bulletin each Sunday. We'll try to put information there in the bulletin for that we want to communicate to you. There are surveys that are available. Some of you have had perhaps have had trouble getting being able to open the surveys that we've announced for the last couple of Sundays. There are surveys that are available have been put out near the bulletins and are also in the church office. So if you need a survey, please make sure you pick them up, and please make sure that you fill the surveys out. We are very much interested in what you have to offer us here at Olney, the leadership, particularly the worship committee and the membership committee. So please make sure that you fill out those surveys. Again, please make sure that you go to our webpage to stay abreast of everything that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church, especially as we continue to negotiate this pandemic that we've been in for the last several 18 months or so.
The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, Chapter 31, verses 7 to 9. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, the Lord has saved his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her who is in travail. Together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping, they shall come, and with consolations, I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of Mark's gospel, beginning at verse 46 and reading through verse 52. So let us listen to God's word for us this morning. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, rise, he is calling you. And throwing off his mantle, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Master, let me receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I know that some people have used this time the last 18 months in this season of pandemic to kind of get away, get on the road, travel, see new places, meet new people. Traveling is always fun. Being on the way somewhere is always exciting, even in the midst of a pandemic. But that's one of the things I love about the gospel narratives, is that they are part of a travel log. We know that Jesus is on the way somewhere. He is on the way to Jerusalem. Or more accurately, he is on his way to the cross. In Mark's gospel, the way is one of the ways that Mark alludes to the gospel. It is the way. And that is where Jesus is going. He is on his way. We have been told that several times in Mark's gospel in the last few chapters, that Jesus is on his way. He is back on the way while he is on the way. And so he is on his way this morning. It is the last leg of his journey. Jericho is the last stop on the way to Jerusalem. It was a popular route as pilgrims would come into the city of Jerusalem. And so Jesus is on the last leg of his journey, the last leg of the way. And like any journey, the most interesting aspect of it is not so much the places that you see, but it's the people that you meet, the people that you meet along the way. And Jesus has met some interesting people as he has made his journey, as he has made his way. A couple of weeks ago, we saw where Jesus met a young man, a very rich young man, a young man that Jesus invited to get rid of all of his stuff and come and follow him on the way. But the young man couldn't do it because he had a lot of stuff, and so he went away very, very sad. But this week, Jesus meets someone else. He meets someone who is almost the opposite of the rich young man. He meets a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, who is sitting along the way. He's kind of sitting on the curb as Jesus makes his way. The name Bartimaeus, of course, means son of Timaeus. It can mean in the Aramaic son of poverty or son of sickness, but Bartimaeus is on the curb and he is sitting on the way as Jesus is approaching. And even though Bartimaeus is blind, even though Bartimaeus cannot see, one of the remarkable things about him is that he can see some things. He can see some things that other people cannot see. So when Bartimaeus is told that Jesus is on his way, he immediately cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David, of course, is a messianic term. It is a term identifying Jesus as Israel's Messiah, as Israel's king. And up to this point in Mark's gospel, the only one who has been able to discern that is Peter. Peter discerns it back at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus knows that it's only through the agency of the Holy Spirit that Peter is able to discern that. But Peter is the only one who's been able to discern that. Peter and the demons. The demons in Mark's gospel knows who Jesus is. But now Bartimaeus seems to know who Jesus is, and he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Have mercy. And of course, the people who are with Jesus, the multitude that is traveling with them, try to shut Bartimaeus up. They don't want him to be too loud. They don't want him to disrupt things. I've noticed that whenever people who've been kicked to the curb, whenever people who are marginalized, whenever people who are overlooked start speaking out, whenever they start crying out, there's always people who want them to be quiet. There's always people who want to shut them up. There's always people who don't want to be disturbed by their cries and by their pleads. But Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is on the way, and so Bartimaeus cries all the more louder. He becomes even more persistent. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus listens, Jesus sees, Jesus cares. And so he calls out to Bartimaeus. He calls him. And I love what Jesus says to Bartimaeus. It's basically the same question we heard Jesus say to James and John last week. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you? What is it that you want me to do for you?" And if I were Bartimaeus, I might have said, "Duh, I'm blind. I can't see. I'm living in darkness. I've been reduced to begging on the side of the road. What in the world do you think I want?" But the Lord's question is a good one, because I've discovered that some people don't want to confront what is obviously debilitating them. Some people don't want to be able to see. Some people prefer darkness. They prefer what they are living in. They don't want to confront it. They prefer lies. They prefer deceit. They prefer the darkness in which they are living. They don't want to be able to see. Some people are afraid to confront what it is that is causing them their problems and distress. Have you ever noticed that? We were trying to help someone not long ago, a young man who was homeless, but it was apparent that wasn't his main issue. His main issue was addiction. If he could just deal with that addiction, all the other problems that he had would kind of be taken care of. But that's something that he didn't want to confront. He didn't want to confront his addiction. That's too hard, too difficult. He prefers his addiction over anything else. And so perhaps, as far as Jesus knew, maybe Bartimaeus was like that as well. Maybe Bartimaeus had gotten so used to the darkness that that's not what he wanted to be cured of. He didn't want to be healed of his darkness. Perhaps all he wanted was just a little bit of change to get him by, a little bit of change so that he didn't have to beg. And so Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? But again, that's what I like about Bartimaeus, because Bartimaeus not only knows what he wants, Bartimaeus knows what he needs. And so that's what he says. He says, "I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see. I just want my sight. If you can help me to see." In one sense, this is a typical healing story. We know that God is a healing God. We know that Jesus is someone who heals. We know that that's what Jesus spent a great deal of his time doing, healing people who was in need of healing, people suffering various forms of affliction. Jesus is a healer. God is a healing God. God is still in the business of healing. That's why we pray for people every Sunday. That's why we pray for people quite often. We pray for healing because we know that God is a healing God. Of course, it doesn't mean that every time we pray for healing, that healing is something that we will receive. God has God's own purposes, and there were lots of people in Jesus's day that Jesus did not heal, that at least were not healed by Jesus. Lots of blind people in Jesus's day that perhaps didn't receive their sight. But every time Jesus healed someone, he was pointing to the future. He was saying that this is a portent of the way things will be in the kingdom of God. One day there's going to be a time when there's going to be no more darkness. One day there's going to be a time when there is no more blindness. One day there's going to be a time when there's no more sickness. There's going to be a time when there's no more need for any healing. One day. Everything that portends death is going to be done away with. But God is a healing God. And in one sense, this story is about Jesus healing the physical sight of Bartimaeus. But this is more than a story about physical healing. This is also a story about Jesus giving someone spiritual sight, spiritual insight. This is the second blind person that Jesus has encountered in so many chapters. Earlier in chapter 8, Jesus heals another blind man, a man who is in need of having his sight restored. And it's kind of an interesting miracle because it takes Jesus two times to heal this man. Jesus touches the man's eyes and the man says, I can see a little bit, but people look like trees. And then Jesus touches his eyes again and the man can see. He has his vision clarified. And for the next several pericopes, that is what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to open the eyes of his disciples. Earlier in chapter 8, we were told that his disciples have ears, but they cannot hear. They have eyes, but they cannot see. And Jesus is trying to open their eyes. He continues to try to open their eyes as he journeys with them along the way. But they can't see clearly. They can see a little bit. They can begin to see a little bit, but they don't have the whole picture. They can't get the whole picture. And so Jesus is constantly trying to get them to see. And of course, what the Lord's disciples cannot see clearly is the way. The way that Jesus is going. They cannot see the way of the cross, the way of sacrificial love. They are failing to be able to see that. They are failing to be able to see it. And of course, to believe in Jesus is to follow him. To believe in Jesus is to follow him along the way. That is what he's been asking people to do. That is what he has been inviting people to do, to follow him along the way. The late Eugene Peterson once wrote that we all become present to what God intends to do with us and for us through worship. He says that the operating biblical metaphor regarding worship is sacrifice. We bring ourselves to the altar, he says, and we let God do with us what God will. We bring ourselves to the Eucharistic table and enter into the grand fourfold shape of the liturgy, the shape that we experience around the table. The taking, the blessing, the breaking, and the giving. We become shaped by that, and that is, of course, the life of Jesus himself. The Jesus who is on the way and invites all of us to follow. The problem, of course, that you and I have this morning is that there's also something called the American way. We're familiar with the American way. The American way is about bigness. It's about often entertainment. It's about satisfaction. It's about excitement. It's about adventure. It's about problem solving. The American way is about all of those ways. The American way is the way, you might say, of consumers. We are a nation of consumers. We love to consume. And so many of us in the church have figured out that that might be a good way to get people into the church, is to invite them to come and consume, to figure out what we can appeal to that they might be able to consume. And all of that is fine, I suppose, but it's not the way that Jesus is going. The way that Jesus is going is different than the American way, because the way that Jesus is going is the way of sacrificial love. It's a way that is not so much concerned about oneself, about living for oneself, but it's the way that is turned towards others. And that is the way that Jesus has been trying to get his disciples to see clearly. To believe in Jesus is to follow him, to follow him along the way. I was talking to a friend of mine in another city, and he was telling me about his church, and he was saying he was a little bit distressed, because he was telling me that there was a family in the church that had met with him and told him that they were going to leave the church. They had teenage children, and they just wanted to go to a church, a big enough church, where there were programs available for the teenage children. And my friend's church is in a very economically challenged area. And he tried to communicate to the family, what better way to teach young children about the way of the Lord Jesus Christ than to serve right here, to serve in the midst of this community, to be like Jesus. There's all kinds of need in this community. What better education is there than the education they can receive right here in this community? I thought about my own church when I was growing up. It wasn't a big church at all, just a few people, but I learned a great deal. They didn't have a youth program, but I used to accompany the pastor and other people as we made our ways to Alcoholic Anonymous meetings, and as we held Bible study, and as we did other things in the midst of community, in the midst of people who were desperately needing to know the love of Christ. And I had to agree with my friend, yeah, this is, you know, that's a wonderful way. If you can just communicate that to them, that the way that Jesus calls us is not the way that is so much concerned about ourselves, but it's the way of giving ourselves for others. If they could just get that, it's about giving ourselves to others. But I'm not sure that he was ever able to convince that family, who was very much ingrained in the American way. I was reading a story not long ago about an elder in a church who was assigned the responsibility of going out into the community and meeting with new families that moved into the community. And one of the families that he met with was a refugee family from Vietnam. And so this elder went, and he met with the family, struck up a pretty good relationship with the father of the family. He helped the father of the family to get a good job there in the community, and was pretty much available to help the family in all the various ways that they were trying to negotiate this new environment that they were in. But often this elder tried to share his faith with the father of this family, but the language barrier was still getting in the way a little bit, and he was having trouble kind of communicating his faith and helping this family to understand the faith. And one day he was trying to tell the man about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he was trying to communicate that and becoming more and more frustrated because of the language barrier, the father said, wait a minute. I just need to know one thing. Is the God that you worship like yourself in any way? Because if the God that you worship is like you, then that's the God I want to be. I want to get to know that God. I want to get to know that God if he is anything like you. To believe in Jesus is to follow him. To believe in Jesus is to give ourselves to the way of sacrificial, self-giving love. I like what Jesus tells Bartimaeus after he heals him. Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Now be on your way. Your faith has healed you. And I could you imagine being Bartimaeus and being able to see for the first time, just having a whole new world opened up to you, all the things you want to experience, all the things you want to see that you never got to see before. There's sunrises waiting for you. There's mountaintops waiting for you. There's ocean views waiting for you. There's all these wonderful experiences that you could have, all of these things that are waiting for you. If I were Bartimaeus, I couldn't wait to get out there. Couldn't wait to live my life, a whole new life where I'm able to see. But that's not what Bartimaeus does. We're told that Bartimaeus follows Jesus along the way. And unlike Jesus' disciples, Bartimaeus has his eyes wide open. Bartimaeus knows what to expect when they get to Jerusalem. He has his eyes wide open. Because the way to Jerusalem will be the way to the cross. And think about that. A week after Bartimaeus gets his sight, one of the first things that he sees is Jesus hanging on the cross. But that doesn't deter him here this morning. We are told that he follows Jesus along the way. I think Bartimaeus probably seen other things as well. We're not told anything else about him, but I imagine he was probably one of the 500 who saw the resurrected Christ. And I imagine he probably went on to be a fervent disciple, an apostle for Jesus. He probably went out to share his powerful story about once being blind, but now being able to see. Being able to see the way that leads to life. Won't you follow the way, says Jesus. Come with me along the way. Journey with me as I journey along the way. To believe in Jesus is not just to believe in him, but it's to follow him as he makes his way along the way. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us as we too are called to follow you. Lord, you know there are all kind of other ways that are calling us to follow, even in the church. There's the way of of violence. There's the way of wanting to have our appetites met. There's a way of selfishness. There's the way of the consumer. There's all kinds of ways that we believe are effective. But you have called us to follow the one way that leads to eternal life. You've called us to follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he leads us along the way. Help us to be your faithful people as we journey with him. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.